Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
There's stuff that you have to see to believe. And at the reading the room and feeding off of the audience, kind of going where the audience is also enjoying things, really useful. It takes you a little bit out of your head and into the moment.
This is the Improv Chronicle. I'm Lloydie. Conventionally, at the end of most improv classes, there's a graduation or end of term show.
Actually, I've got one of those just over here. If you come this way. Right, now prepare yourself, because you've never seen anything like this in your life.
Okay. Wow!
There you go. Have you ever seen anything like that in your life before?
These sharings of what people have learned have become commonplace at most improv theatres and with most improv schools. So what are the benefits of putting sometimes very new people to improv on the stage in front of an audience?
Hi, I'm Rick Andrews. I'm a teacher and performer at the Magna Theatre in New York City.
I take it as a teacher you have stewarded a number of end of course shows. What do you think is the value of a grad show for students?
It's really fun. It is successful if you set it up in the right way, I think. And I think it's a huge confidence builder. I remember always seeing like students I had in level one, you know, seeing their like level two or level three class show and being kind of mystified at like how good they'd already gotten. And I think for a while I just assumed there was something was happening in level two where people just, but then I taught level two for the first time. And I had a bunch of students who started my level two, like right after their class show from level one. And it was very interesting. It's like 3 days later, it's that first week, and they're like 30% better than they were last week. And all that's happened is they just had this performance. I think that being able to have a class, things are fun, it feels like it's clicking, but then you actually succeed up on stage. It's just a real confidence boost. And I think it helps the process of eliminating a lot of the fear, a lot of the nervousness that is what leads to kind of worse improv, and being able to get it up on its feet and feel good about it starts a kind of virtuous cycle.
Interesting that you say if you set it up in the right way, what would you say is a good way to set up a graduation show?
I think there's one like a correct form or structure. I think there are a number of things that you could do to make sure that the show is going to go well. I think, you know, one is picking a form or structure that allows the students to, you know, succeed. So that means whatever the length of your class, and you know, they have enough time to kind of work on the form and structure. We do our mottos in our level one class show, the monologue deconstruction, and we do some two-person scenes. So the show consists of just some two-person scenes with suggestions and then like an Armando long form. But we don't worry about second beats. We're not doing callbacks. They're doing their own edits, but sweep edits, just really simple. So, you know, it's a manageable amount for the 8 weeks that we have for our class. It's not like throwing them into the deep end in terms of like, all right, now you've had 4 weeks of class and you're doing a deconstruction, right? Where it's unlikely to succeed. I think the flip side of that is not kind of not having too many training wheels. I think people are capable of really good scene work with really good instruction, and allowing them to get up on their feet in class a lot, get up on stage frequently. This is where having like mixers and jams at the theater is also very helpful. I think that all helps contribute to a successful kind of class performance. I think the other enormous thing to me is just making people, like making there be an audience at the show. I teach a lot of level one, which is usually not that hard to get the level one folks out. It's their very first show. But there's such a big difference between a show with, you know, in a 70 seat theater, there's 70 people in the seats. I mean, that is a no fail situation. Right. And only 10 people showed up, you know, that is a tough one. And even if you do great, no one's going to walk away feeling great about it, I think. So I think, yeah, having it at a time when like people can go, you know, if it's like Wednesday at 4 PM, like that's not going to be a successful experience. You know, having it in a space that is, that works, keeping it cheap, like, you know, not trying to make money off of the class show. I think, I don't know, depending on people's theater setups, but you know, not charging $30 for a performance that essentially allows people to bring as many people as possible. Right. And I think as a teacher, like making it a really big deal, that's something I learned over the course of my first couple of years teaching level one, was to just become more and more of a kind of, I have a kind of pretend, like bullying act that I do about like inviting people to the show. You know, I'm like, oh, you got to invite people to the show. That's like week five. And then I'm like, have you invited anyone? And then week six, I'm like, okay, who'd you invite? And I like go around and I make people tell me like who's coming to the show. And I do it in a tongue in cheek way, I think. But I really do like it. I want people to feel like they really got to bring people.
Hi, I'm Chelsea Clark. I've been a teacher, an improviser at the Upright Citizens Brigade in New York City for the past over 10 years. I don't want to do the math. So I've done many, many, many class shows, probably over 200 student shows of various levels.
So in this podcast, we're going to hear from some of the students who just did a show at the end of a course I taught. But of course, I did a show at the end of a course you taught 15 years ago.
Oh, yes. And I remember it fondly, which is, actually.
No, you don't. You don't remember anything from it at all. I'm not sure I do, actually. So, but I do want to talk about how important they are. And if they are important, I mean, what do you think their benefit is?
I definitely think they're important. I think there's a lot we learn in the classroom, obviously. And there's so much that there's such a learning curve, especially for young improvisers or new improvisers. So it's great to have the safety of the classroom. And then it's also great to kind of push out of the nest and do a show. Because as you know, there's all kinds of information we get from the audience that we should be listening to that helps us make our scenes funnier, to slow down and really appreciate and see all of the interesting and unusual stuff that's popping up. The audience sometimes notices it even better than our teachers and our classmates do. And being able to listen to that audience is such an important skill to have as an improviser. So getting that into your bones early is really important. So having a class show at the end of every multi-week class, for sure, very important.
It's real world feedback, isn't
it? Yes, absolutely. And yeah, again, when you're in your practice groups, it's really hard to get that from a small amount of people sitting in your classroom. And it's really a fun moment, whether it throws them or whether people, it like really turns on their, like, they start to get it falls into place when they hear the audience laughter and feedback at that first class show of theirs.
Yeah, I think it is, for some people, it's a light bulb moment, isn't it? It's like, oh, this thing that I've practiced, that I've trained for, this is how it works. This is a real life application all of a sudden.
Yes, well, I definitely think that, because there's stuff that you have to see to believe. And at the reading the room and feeding off of the audience, kind of going where the audience is also enjoying things, really useful. It takes you a little bit out of your head and into the moment.
So it's all very well hearing from the teachers, but what do people who are performing shows like this actually feel? I spoke to some of the people who'd been taking my class after their grad show. So firstly, how did the show go?
Well, we all really enjoyed it. It's fabulous. It was just a load of fun.
Do you think it adds something to the course having a performance element that happens at the very end?
Yes, I do, because it gives you something to work towards. And as a team, you build on, in the workshops, you build on all the things you've learnt and you have something to work towards. Yeah.
And do you think that helps elevate the improv?
Yes, I do, because you always have in mind the fact that you're going to do a sharing or a performance at the end. and that kind of makes you want to keep improving.
How do you feel before the performance?
I usually feel quite nervous, but when you're actually out in front of the audience, the nerves go and you just focus on the people you're with.
And you do it again?
Definitely I do it again, yes.
Back to Rick Andrews.
Maybe it's just the way we're setting up. I have never had a bad like level one class show, like ever. I've had like 400 of them. Like I've had bad, wow. I've had bad like level three or level four class shows, but it's almost always, okay, there's only six people here. And then like the sets are a mess, right? The level one, the way we run it, the form isn't too big of an ask. There's not a lot of ways that it could really, you know, you're doing a new scene. So if every scene's not like a huge winner, like that's okay. You know, like the form, we're not doing second beats. So it's like, all right, that scene wasn't great, but it's 30 seconds a minute. It gets edited and we do a new scene and we kind of move on, right? It's a lot tougher in other long forms, I think, where if you have a really rough first beat scene, it's like the whole show is now trapped in this like world of these characters, right? I do think there's an energy to like people's first show that I think is hard to feel. Now, you know, your second show or third show or fourth show, I think, you know, people are just nervous and they need practice. I think it's only a plus though to put them up in front of people. I mean, you're not throwing them out there like, you know, in a 2000 seat Broadway theater, right? But it's mm-hmm. like, I think, how are they supposed to get better? I'm of the belief that people do bad improv not because they don't know how to do good improv. Improv classes would be really short if that's why. You could just give them the information in like 20 minutes and then they would be amazing at improv. They do bad improv because it's really terrifying improv. And the only thing that makes it less terrifying is more practice. And I think there's nothing better than getting up in front of people and getting more practice. And by the time people have gone through the magnet program, you know, when we had level four, it was, you know, class show after level one, class show after level two, class show after level three, class shows after level four. You have four class shows for level five and eight class shows for the level six. So I got lost in my math there, but that's like, I don't know, 20, 24 performances, right? At a minimum. Mm-hmm. But I know people were like, they don't have any class shows. There are no class performances. And so their students go through the program. They've like been on stage maybe once or twice. And then they're like auditioning for teams. I think that's such a much tougher situation. I'd rather get them those nerves out early on in a class performance where the whole thing is pitched as, hey, this is our like level two class show versus like, here's our house team of people who are brand new. I think that just sets them up for more failure later. I think part of it too is just keeping it light. Like, making it feel fun, how you're hosting it, just the energy in the room, like and not making it feel like, you know, I don't know, like a super big deal, you know, even if there's a lot, like, mm-hmm. it's just like, and that's the nice thing about improv. It should feel like we're all kind of hanging out, you know, but we're focused, you know, we're present. It's not sloppy. Like, I think if you can strike that energy, they're easy to have fun with. Like I don't think having I think with the right conditions, when people talk about them, sometimes it sounds like it's like, oh, it's kind of a coin flip, whether it's like a disaster or a nightmare. And to me, that's more about a lack of setting it up with the right framework than it is about the actual student performances. Because I think if you set them up in the right way, you're almost guaranteed every time to have a great experience.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Frequently, students are kind of nervous or have some trepidation about the class shows at the beginning. So something you'll hear maybe in your first couple weeks is, well, I'm not sure if I want to invite my friends to this show. I'm not sure if I want to go to this show. I'm going to see how it goes. Usually by the end of the course, they're pretty excited, and you should, as a teacher, kind of ramp people up for that excitement, get people to invite their friends. It's such a cool thing to let your loved ones share with you, like one of your first improv performances, and a packed house always makes for a better show as well, for the reasons we kind of mentioned before. Some of the things I prepare them for is, you know, to get there early so that we can have plenty of time to warm up, and kind of walk around the stage, kind of imagine yourself on stage, get a little bit of the lay of the land, warm up with your classmates. The other thing is you really want to prepare people to not, to try to avoid kind of getting the liquid courage in before their class shows. I always just mention like that's, we'll go out for a drink after, but doing it before is, you know, Not at the beginning.
I think the body can usually produce enough good adrenaline that you don't need beer, wine, or spirits in order to aid your improv performance.
Yeah, definitely. And then the other like little silly practical thing in class for preparing students for the class show is to just make sure they're wearing something. You know, and we want to look our best, obviously, sometimes in these class shows, but wearing something that you won't mind being as active and moving around as much as you did in class, or, you know, so that you won't be afraid to say, get down on the ground or whatever you need to do.
Every now and again, there is a student who for whatever reason, does not want to perform. And, you know, I always want to acknowledge people's reality. Sometimes you are not in a place where you want to get up on stage and do a thing. And I'm always very cool with people saying, this is not the space I'm in right now. Equally, for those who maybe have a few nerves, but aren't in a place where it would be, you know, not good for them to perform, what kind of words of encouragement do you give?
Yeah. So, you know, focusing on having each other's backs backstage can really help. To be, you know, to understand that there's like a little bit of a, what are all the old sayings, jump and the net will appear. To, you know, if you're out there, you might feel your most nerves right before you go on stage. And then like listening and paying attention and focusing more on being there to support your teammates can sometimes take the pressure off of it being all eyes on you and give you something to focus that energy on, being hyper aware and hyper listening to your teammates sometimes does the trick for many nervous folks. If you're a teacher running a class show, probably you already do this, but just make sure that at the end, the families and friends know where to meet up with everybody afterwards so that, you know, your class can take their class picture on the stage without everyone stealing them away. Remember that stage lights are bright. You may have an article of clothing that becomes see-through on stage. These are things you might not have noticed in the classroom. And just support your students with a great blackout for their show so that they end on a really high, awesome note.
I'm going to leave the final word to some of my students who performed last week.
So Adam and Alistair are just off stage. Firstly, how was this evening?
It was fantastic. It was such a great experience to be able to kind of practice what we've actually been doing for the past 10 weeks, really, in front of an audience. So I always find that thrilling, really.
Yeah, there's nothing like knowing that you're going to do a show in week 10 or week 11 to really motivate you, to make you concentrate, to make you think, here's a real opportunity. to not only do something interesting that audiences will like, but to entertain yourself and to have fun. And if you don't have fun, you probably won't be a good show. But if you do have fun and you see the people around you having fun, everyone seems to have fun. So it's a real kind of, you know, about humour being infectious. You really get a sense of that doing this.
I can hear some of the things that I told you before the show coming out here. That's great. What do you think the course would be like without a performance element at the end?
Oh, well, it wouldn't really have any... For me, it is all about the performance element. It's actually getting out there and in front of an audience. I think if you didn't have that at the end, it would like, well what would be the point? Because that's essentially what we are training to do, you know, putting into practice in front of an audience, because that's your lifeblood. Your lifeblood is the reaction of the audience, but also the words that you're actually given, you know, your motivation for your scenes. That's, I think, yeah.
And I think that one of the most important skills you try to learn when you're improvising is how to listen. Listen to your scene partner, listen to other people's scenes, how you can use those ideas. And then listening tonight to the audience, to what they respond to, what they find funny, what they don't find funny, inevitably affects what you do and the scene that you produce. So that's such a good stimulus, and it's such a good confidence builder when somebody laughs at something you say, and it drives you on, and again it makes the show better because everybody becomes more confident in what they're doing.
You've been learning a form over the past few weeks. Do you think having an audience there changed how you performed it?
Yes, I think you ratchet up your performance when you see an audience in front of you. Again, one of the most important things I've learned this term is about playing the emotion. It's not about developing a plot necessarily, it's about developing emotion and playing people's different emotions off against each other. So you're feeling emotional, and that might sound very a simple way of saying it, but because you are responding to people in that way, then the audience are responding to how you're feeling. And again, there is a kind of backwards and forwards that I don't think you necessarily get when you're doing a scripted play, because the format is there and to an extent you're rigid within that framework. But when you don't know what you're going to be doing 5 minutes, 10 minutes from when you start, you could literally be anywhere doing anything, talking to anyone. The audience has a big part to play in where you go. And I'm sure that if we'd had a different audience tonight, we'd have had a different show.
You were actually a very, very emotional Christmas tree. I thought it was...
I'd like to think so. Yeah.
Your Christmas tree was amazing.
I think my bells would have rung differently.
Absolutely.
Had I been in front of a different audience. Yeah, well, I'd like to think so anyway.
Your bells definitely did ring differently.
Yes. Yeah. Well, someone pressed my buttons, didn't they? That was the keys to the
scene. I don't like to brag.
You included, I have to say.
You can get The World of Improv delivered to your inbox every week when you subscribe to the Improv Chronicle newsletter. Just go to improvchronicle.com for more. And if you like what this podcast does, consider following us on your podcast subscriber and leave a rating and review. Those really do make a huge difference. They help the podcast get discovered. It's all about the algorithm. So do leave a review and a rating if you can. You can also donate to support this podcast using the link in the show notes. And if you'd like to sponsor an episode, you can get in touch via the website. It would be great to have you as part of the production. For previous episodes and for transcripts as well, check out the website improvchronicle.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape.
And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.